Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No!
Is the Off Day Podcast.
Give me a chest bump. Boom!
With Andy Hart.
All right, good to be with you. All right.
Does this microphone put up a little less fight than the one last night?
And Ryan Hannibal.
What's your name again?
Hannibal.
Hannibal. Hannibal.
Mr. Dot Commer
on WEEI.com.
Podcast 49ers. We Jimmy Garoppolo week. We got a lot to get to. We got some stuff that we're all fired up about. I guess we've got some hate out there this week. I guess just me.
Don't use we. You got a mouse in your pocket? Leave me alone. I've had my weeks of hate. This is your week of hate.
But you're on my side with the hate, though.
I am. I think people are stupid, including people that work at our station, including other people in the media corps. They either don't read, don't understand words, or just flat out have a bias that leads them to make fun of you when the reality is what you wrote was accurate.
We just talked off there. That's the theme of the week. People are stupid.
Yes, we may have used an F-bomb off the air, but I won't on the air. We don't need to do that.
So where do we want to start? Do we want to start Garoppolo? Do we want to start team? Do we want to start game? Like, where do we want to start?
How about we start with team?
Okay.
We'll get to the game because we'll do our prediction later. And very big game, I think.
Yes.
I know some people say must-win game. That's a little cliche and a little out of whack.
Yeah, but like – also, the team's kind of hyping this up themselves. Like, you had Belichick using the excuses practice all last week. They practiced in full this week. And then Cam Newton yesterday saying, Murad, you know, the excuse bucket's running low. So if they lose, like, what do you say then?
I'm going to make a controversial statement.
Yep.
Cam Newton has done a better job with the media this season than Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
I don't think people would have expected that. People were wondering, how's he going to deal with New England, and will he say the right things and do the right things? I think he's said all the right things. I don't know if he can play. I don't know if he can get better. But his press conferences, his answers have been, other than making us wait an hour for some of them, have been phenomenal. Like, it is what it is, basically. He said,
it's honesty that I think we're not used to from a Patriots player. Like, he says it as it is.
Yes, and like the yesterday, the I'm not good, the, you know, our excuse basket is just about empty.
Right.
Like, I mean, he basically said yesterday what I've been saying all week. Our head coach has been making excuses for us. It's empty. There's no more excuses. And we just talked to Bill Belichick on his Friday morning Zoom. He emphasized, you know, how great it was to get back to a normal week and all that stuff. Well, that's great. Now go out there and win. Like, you've just said you had an excuse last week. What's the excuse this week? Or will you let me know Sunday night and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday if you lose this week what the excuse was? I like the way Cam Newton has handled himself off the field more than I liked how he's been on the field.
All right, speaking of the on-the-field product, I guess the narrative or discussion point for the team the last – since really the season started, honestly, is – adding a wide receiver or, you know, being active at the trade deadline. And I think that we've talked about it on this podcast. We've talked about it on the air. But you brought up a point, too, the other day that you wanted to get to. How many pieces are they away? Like, are they a wide receiver away? Are they a tight end away? Are they multiple pieces away?
Yeah, I would say a linebacker, a defensive lineman, a tight end, a wide receiver, and when I did this with Dale and Keith this week, I added the quarterback position away from being a Super Bowl contender, in my opinion. Like, they are not a Super Bowl contender. You cannot convince me of that. Eliminate them from the discussion. I don't know how good they are. I wrote a column about this morning, but, you know, maybe they're upper middle class or whatever, like sort of the king of the dip poos, as Paul Perillo used to say. You're not a Super Bowl contender, and the contenders in your conference are getting better. Le'Veon Bell, Ngakwe, I don't know about Dez Bryant. I think he's kind of tough, but whatever. And then Super Bowl contenders, the looks like the Seahawks maybe get Antonio Brown. So I know Teddy Bruschi got defensive when people made note of that he said the Patriots aren't very good anymore. They're not very good anymore. Whether he was talking as Teddy Bruschi, Antonio Brown, Andy Hart, Ryan Hannibal, he was right. The words were accurate. And I also, in my column, wanted to point, they don't suck. Like, so don't paint it as they suck. They're in the middle somewhere. And the next couple weeks, how they play the Niners, how they play the Bills, that might decide whether they're sort of upper middle class 9-7 type team or lower middle class 7-win team.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I don't think, and this is why we've talked a little bit about this, and based on their finances and everything, and you kind of wrote a column about this, the if I'm adding somebody at the trade deadline, I'm not adding a piece to make a run at the postseason or in the postseason. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to make my 53-man roster for 2020, 2021, maybe even 2022 if you get the right guy, like better. I'm adding talent that it's available, you know, even getting a head start on potential cuts and off-season moves and teams that are, you know, looking at whatever direction they're going in, and I got to get rid of this high-priced veteran. Maybe the Patriots swoop in with a fifth-round pick and take said high-priced veteran. So the flip side of that is, and I know Tom Curran wrote about this, we've talked about it a little bit, I think, based on the off-season rumors. Would you be in position to trade Stephon Gilmore?
I was just going to go there.
Yeah, so that's – I mean, you have a – I guess if we're going to go from rumor spectrum to rumor spectrum – Patriots could trade for Julio Jones or could trade away Stephon Gilmore, one of the best offensive players in football. They could acquire or get rid of one of the supposed best defensive players in football. That's a pretty wide spectrum.
But that just shows who they are. Like, right. They literally could go either direction. And I don't think, like, if they traded Stephon Gilmore, I don't think that they'd become that much worse this year, right?
I mean, he has not played great. He's either
– But it's also a position of strength.
Right, but not even – like, you can have a position of strength, but most times if you – like, say the offensive line's a position of strength. By the way, Joe Tooney could be a trade possibility. If you lose your best player even at a position of strength, usually you – like, he had a lot of penalties. He's given up big plays. He's been fortunate to not give up some other big plays. Last week was an example where he got beat down the sideline. It just hit the receiver in the hands, and he didn't catch it. It's a tough situation for Belichick. Like, I'm not going to cry for him or whatever. I don't feel any sympathy, but like, it is an interesting
position to be in.
Yeah. And, you know, I did Maine radio this morning as I do every Friday. And, which by the way, everybody should listen if you're in the Portland area every Friday at 8 a.m. and every post game at 8 a.m. Like they said, you know, does it hinge on the 49ers game, the Bills game? Is it like a baseball? Remember the trade deadline 2 years ago? The Red Sox buyers, are they sellers? Like, oh, and then what'd they do? They beat the Yankees and decided they weren't sellers and
Right. Probably
was not a great decision. But it's a little different in football, and I can't see Bill flipping some switch like, oh, I thought we were going to make the playoffs and be a good team, but you know what? We just lost, so screw it. I'm trading
Right. Pooney
and Gilmore. I don't think it'll be that dramatic. I think for him, it's as simple as, you know, the V word.
If he gets good value for any of those players, he's going to do it.
It's always the V word with him. And so, yeah, if he can – I mean, do you think he could get a second-round pick for Stephon Gilmore? Would a team give up a 2?
I was just going to say that would be my sort of asking price, and I think if you got it, I would probably do it.
And maybe a 2 for Joe Tooney if a team loses a lineman or needs a lineman. And,
well, Tooney, you know, might not be able to get a 2 because of his contract, free agent after this year.
It all depends how desperate the other team is.
No, I agree.
I mean, because I think you could sell yourself on Joe Tooney could play any position. Like, if you're a team, I'm bringing in Joe Tooney on a prorated, so I'd owe him $8 million over the second half of the season. But he's played center. He's played guard. He, you know, was a tackle in college. I could probably move him around. Like, you know, a team like the Raiders that now has zero offensive linemen because they're all in quarantine or self-isolation. If a team got desperate and said, yeah, I'll give up a 2 for Joe Tooney, and probably with the hope maybe I will sign him too, not just for the rental. But, no, this might be one of the more interesting Patriots trade deadlines. Now, I don't know. Bill was asked about this, and I don't know how the world, the coronavirus, if that affects it, if it's less active, more active.
It's probably less, right? Just think about it. Like, you get one less week with the team. Like, you don't.
Yes, I agree with that. But then there's also the idea that I've taught, like,
you do it
financially
now.
What coronavirus has done to teams, are they more aggressive? Do they do, you know, get a jump on things instead of just cutting a guy in the offseason or whatever because of finances? So I don't know. I'm going to be really interested to see how the trade. I mean, based on what we've seen so far, it could be active. The Jets have already unloaded a couple guys. And Ngakoue goes to the Ravens. I mean, there's already been deals, right? So maybe it'll be more active. I don't know. And maybe that's my thing. Maybe that gets back to my overall theme for 2020, whether you'd rather be well-coached, scheme, or talent. Maybe teams are saying, normally I'd be hesitant to bring a guy in, but I want to be more talented. Maybe we're not going to be quite as deep into our playbook. So if we can play better because we are more talented, we'll be better. I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's going to be a really interesting trade deadline.
If you were the Patriots, would you be open to trading Gilmore and Tooney?
Yes.
Me
100%.
Too. Me too.
I mean,
do you think that, would the fans take that the wrong way? That's my only sort of concern that they might have.
Well, do the fans think they're a contender?
Yes.
Because if so, the fans are wrong.
I know, but you see the tweet, do you see the calls, like the media, like.
Yeah, but from a Patriots perspective, what does it matter? You're not going to have fans at Gillette Stadium, so you're not going to have like any visualization of people not showing up or wearing bags on their heads like they used to.
I don't think we wouldn't ever get to that point here.
Right. So will there be a couple articles written? Will there be some tweets? Will there be, you know, calls to our station? Maybe, probably, yeah. And like, if I do the right thing and this makes me good next year, like if I'm better for it, short and long-term best interest of the team, you make that move in a heartbeat. So I don't want to tell fans we aren't a Super Bowl contender on November 3rd. I'll wait till we don't make the playoffs. So right. You know what I mean? So yeah. I've waited 2 months. I've saved 2 months of, you know, fans calling talk radio, but I don't have a draft.
More like a Red Sox PR type thing. And the Patriots aren't really in that business.
They don't have to worry about PR yet. At some point they might have to, but right now they don't have to worry about PR, right? They can live off the dynasty that they just deemed over when they put out a press release saying the dynasty was over.
And then to the receiver position, like there are people out there that still think what they have right now is like decent enough and they're just one piece away. Like they're not even freaking close.
Well, I'd also say, yes, a good receiver would make the passing game better. That's obvious, but.
Of course, but like it's so bad right now.
Just
look to the last drive against the Broncos. They had to call freaking two trick plays, move the ball 20 yards down the field.
And how much better is your passing game going to get with Cam Newton as your passer? That would be my other – like, I'm not – they are not good enough throwing the football. I agree with that. But I don't know that Cam Newton is a elite NFL passer.
And everyone's going to point to the Seattle game, but the Seattle secondary blows last in the league.
And can we not point to singular games? Like, I mean, what's his name? Who had the 200 yards rushing against the Colts? Was he a great running back?
Jonas Gray.
Like, I mean, there's one-offs all the time in certain matchups or certain, you know, the ball bounces your way on a certain night. Just watch him. Just watch the efficiency. He's slow in his reads. His mechanics, which they fixed 3 weeks ago, are now broken again.
Well, because he didn't practice for a while.
You know what that is? That's the Vince Wilfork redistributed his weight in the summer story that we would write like three times. And then everybody's like, yeah. You know what? He kind of looks the same. I know we say he changed his body, but doesn't he look the same? Yes, he looks the same. Cam Newton has looked the same in week because I see everybody. Oh, maybe he'll step into throws this week. He doesn't. He steps in the bucket. He steps into the third base dugout like a little leaguer who's afraid of the freaking baseball.
Yes, I would agree.
So what are we talking about?
I don't know what we were talking about, honestly. Oh, Cam Newton's mechanics.
Oh, yeah, Cam Newton. He is what he is. Like, so even if you add – let's just dream. Let's dream big. Julio Jones is the trade addition. How much better do you get? You'll be better. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But
are you 3 wins better? No.
And are you suddenly going to be an offense that throws the ball 40 times a game because you have Julio Jones? Well, you still have Cam Newton, and that's not his game. So yeah, I don't – those pass catcher – you need pass catchers. Your pass catchers stink. I'm on board with that. But I don't know, A, what you can get, and B, how much that would improve what you are.
I guess that kind of brings us into the next topic with quarterbacks in New England. I wrote a story, a long story, and looking at the entire Garoppolo trade and if they made the right call in 2017 and trading Garoppolo. And you know, everybody's done this for 3 years. But my point was that the overall point, SparkNotes version, they went from having two great quarterbacks in Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady 3 years ago to now having none. And yes, I know you won the Super Bowl against the Rams. Yes, sure. But what are they now? They have nothing. And they had two great commodities and you didn't get anything for it. You didn't extend your, you know, longevity of the franchise being Super Bowl contenders. And I just don't, fans are just going to keep pointing to these Super Bowls in the past. Like, how long is that going to last? Are we going to be in 2024? And people are like, well, we beat the Rams in 2018. Like, how long does that last?
For a while, ask the Oakland Raiders. They've called themselves the team of the decade, even though that decade was like four decades ago. The teams live off that. That's the reality in a lot of these sports, is sometimes you go through stretches where you have to live off your history, whether you're the 49ers, you know, when they're downturns and you're like, wow, but we had Joe Montana and Steve Young and we were great ones. We won a lot of Super Bowls back in the day. Like, that's how it is. But I don't actually understand how people can say they didn't botch it when they had two quarterbacks, one who went to last year's Super Bowl, one or both who are contenders for this year's Super Bowl in the NFC.
Yep.
And you have a quarterback who's not very good. And by the way, he fell in your lap.
You could
have been even worse. You could have had Hoyer and Stidham. But you went from, and the other side shoot is the Jacoby Brissett. Like, he was sort of a borderline NFL starter. Mm-hmm. And you had all those guys and somehow turned that into nothing. And I'm not saying you had to keep Jimmy. Okay, so you kept Brady.
Right.
You should have kept Brady in a way that Brady wanted to stay.
Right. Like, and I just
somehow wanted- you. So even if we play along with the narrative that Tom said get rid of Jimmy, Robert said get rid of Jimmy, so Bill had to get rid of Jimmy. Well, now Bill has to say, okay, well, Tom's my quarterback, so I got to treat Tom with some whatever the relationship there was, right. Mend the fence and say, Tom, you're my guy. We just did this.
Right.
I need a commitment from you. Let's do this till you're 42, or let's do this till you're 43.
Yes.
And figure it out. But somehow he got rid of Jimmy. Tom's not happy. Tom,
well, months later, he went to Kraft and wanted a trade, literally right. 4 months after he wanted Jimmy out. And that's the part, that's the year that I point to, because if Jimmy was still under your control, if you played out that season and went to the Super Bowl against the Eagles with Garoppolo as your backup, and then Brady goes to Kraft and says, I want out, then Kraft can say, okay, bye, we still have Jimmy. We can sign Jimmy to a long-term deal.
Right.
And that's where you would still have Jimmy Garoppolo under your control.
Now, I will say people are right in that Jimmy was not signing a quote-unquote bridge contract. You were going to either have to franchise him or make him your quarterback.
Right. But you could afford to do that if Brady wanted out.
You could also afford to do that if Brady didn't want out.
Yeah, right. People just assume that you can't do it.
I'm not saying it's neither ideal nor easy, but they were having internal discussions of whether they could do that, how they would do that, setting aside money to do that. You know, I joked with people at the time, you call it the Jimmy Fund. You have to have a little Jimmy Fund set aside in case you need to keep Jimmy. But all these are details. The details we can, like, work through, argue, all of that, how much you got for him. I think your point, and it's a fact to me, it's an absolute fact, you had two starting caliber, Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks, now you have none. You botched it.
Yes.
You have nothing good to show for it. I'd even give them the out if you had the next guy, like Tua. Like, you're playing Cam.
Yeah, like if
you
like
know
if
Stidham, Tua's your
if
guy.
Stidham, if Stidham was the guy.
Yeah, but I
have, like, more doubts than ever with him.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can argue he's the guy. I guess he could end up being the guy, but right now he's not packaged as the guy. So you botched it. You had a great situation that was maybe unbelievably, unsustainably great, and yet you came away with nothing. Like, you overplayed your hand, I guess.
Well, I think you jumped the gun too early. Like Bill always says, like, things always work themselves out with, like, having too many players at a certain position and injuries always happen. Well, the same thing kind of went for this. Like, if you played things out with Jimmy and let it go as long as possible, you might have realized that Tom wanted out then, and you could have made the transition then.
Or the flip side of it is you do it earlier and get more for him. Cleveland gives you first round picks. Like, that could have played out differently too. And if that played out differently, maybe Tom feels differently. Maybe you maximized something.
Very true.
I don't even know. But yeah, I think they traded him at the worst time. I think that's also a fact, that either keep him because you decided he was insurance and you wanted him around, or trade him early, right? When you know, the Browns might have been interested. You know, that was when John Lynch called and was told, no, he's not available. And he said, well, is Brady available? And Belichick hung up on him. Like, I just.
And then also, I'm sick and tired of the list of players they got for Garoppolo with the second round pick. Like, come on.
They got a second round pick for him. That's all they got.
Yes.
You don't get to. No, you got a second round pick. It was a trade for a second round pick. The rest is history and irrelevant and stupid. I hate it. And also, I would add to that, if you got a fucking first round pick and still wanted to play that game of, oh, I traded it for 2 twos and then I traded those 2 twos for 7 sevenths and look at all these play, you didn't get enough for him. But you know what annoyed me a little bit was your boy, Glenn Ordway, who they did a segment on your column and all three of them said, no, this is stupid. You're this, you won the Super Bowl, that. And he finished it with, I just don't see any way you can argue they botched it. I'm sorry. If you can't see any way that they argue you botched it, you're blind as a buffoon bat. I'm sorry. Like, I can't see any way why they can't see any way that they botched it.
You're right. You can argue the details all you want, and sure, there are plenty of debates within inside it, but like you said, the bigger picture is they had two great quarterbacks. Now you have none.
You traded your heir, and then you alienated your present king to the point where he left. I don't know how you can say you didn't botch that. That's botching. That's botched 101. That is prime example of botching.
And then the second half.
Yeah, let's just turn the goddamn tables on this, and let's pretend it's not Bill Belichick and the Patriots that made the decision. If we were looking at the Browns or the Jets.
Great point.
Right? And this was, they had this situation, we would mock the hell out of them. For literally years and years. But because it's Bill and because it's the Patriots and because it's, oh, we got to defend him and he always does the right thing. Like, we would mock another team for this.
Great point. If this were the Ravens and they, you know, somehow had another guy with Lamar Jackson and they lost both, like, it'd be the same thing. Oh, Harbaugh, that's not what he's doing. Hey, he sucks. That's why he's so bad. But
you know where it's coming? You know where it could come? Green Bay.
Yep.
If they somehow – they get rid of Love because, you know, Rodgers, same thing. Right. Rodgers looks great. They get rid of Love, and then Rodgers goes, you know what? I don't really like it here anymore. I'm out. I'm mad. We'll make fun of him. Oh, you mismanaged that, Packers. You had two quarterbacks. Now you got none. Like, it's a simple fact. I'm not saying you have to, like, hate them because of it or the detail. Like, but it's a fact that we would acknowledge for 31 other teams, but because it's Bill and the Patriots, blinded by some weird, I don't even know.
Yes. Then the other blowback I got was I dared to say that Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback than Cam Newton right now.
Yeah, I think he is. It's close in that their skills are different, and that's what makes it hard because Cam's a good runner.
Right.
Jimmy's a good passer. Well,
and I preface it in my tweet. I said Cam may be a better runner, but Garoppolo is an overall better quarterback.
And, like, you know, you look at Garoppolo's numbers. He had the hellacious time against the Dolphins. Otherwise, he's been good to very good this year.
Yes, look at these numbers. I know he's been hurt and he's only played in 4 games, but 17 of 33, 259, 2 touchdowns, no picks. 14 of 16, 131 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. The bad game against the Dolphins, 7 for 17, 77 yards, 2 picks, but he was hurt, given the excuse. And then big bounce back game last week, 23 of 33, 268, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Like, that's solid.
And now I will say there are a couple things. They haven't played great teams. You know, we'll trend into the game preview part here too. And, like, Niners have 3 wins. 2 of them are against the Giants and the Jets. I don't know if those even count in the National Football League this year.
Fair.
But, and then the other aspect is, and this is a fair question that it's a long question, you know, the whole like system QB thing and that, you know, because Beathard came in and had one good game in there, really productive game where he had like 105 passer rating and two touchdowns and no picks and whatever. But the that's fine. I don't care if you're a system quarterback. If
the reality
system, it's good.
The reality is all Jimmy does is win. And our friend Mike Girardi tweeted out the stat this morning. Jimmy Garoppolo, 767 winning percentage, trails only Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady in career winning percentage among 212 quarterbacks with 30-plus starts since 1970. He wins.
Well, and there's two things. The narrative on him changed on a single throw in the Super Bowl. He makes that throw not only as a winner, because he is a winner. The record speaks for itself. But then he has the ring, which shuts everybody up. And you and I talked about this on my drive home from the station yesterday. I don't understand and I won't use the same word I used yesterday because it's a really distasteful word that most people don't like. The way that the New England-based haters hate on Jimmy, that he's not good, and it's a lot of people in the media. You know, Phil Perry wrote a column ripping him. A lot of guys on our station, Brian Barrett, they just think Jimmy is inept, that he's some like smoke and mirrors creation that can't play, and how does he win, and it's only the running game and the defense, and
it's the short, he throws short passes and the receivers make the plays. The next gen stats say this.
So he's Tom Brady early in his career is what he is. Is that fair to say?
Because I was just going to try to do this. Maybe it's an exercise to do this weekend. Is pull up like Tom Brady's numbers earlier in his career and put him against Jimmy Garoppolo and say, what's the difference?
I can tell you the one difference.
A Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Because of one throw?
Yeah. And Brady sucked in the Super Bowl, and then he led him on a drive. They won the Super Bowl. That changed the entire narrative for Tom Brady, and that would have changed the entire narrative for Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think my point is even beyond the stats and the like, why do people want to hate Jimmy? Like, why? It's emotional. It isn't like a rational analysis, in my opinion. It's people with emotions, and I guess it's probably a Brady thing. Like, I'm a Brady guy, so I have to rip the guy that tried to take his job and the comparison and the backup and all that. But they, like, to me, they're unfairly critical of Jimmy, and it's an emotional,
because it fits their narrative that they're going to be on Tom and Bill's side,
which I'm with you. Very simple to me. Now, I think both teams would not be very good, but who's a better quarterback? I'd take Jimmy. I think he's a better quarterback. Who's a better runner? Gimme Cam. Right. And you might be able to sell me on, of the two players and their strengths and weaknesses, Cam's running might be the best aspect. He's still a good runner. Like, he but I don't know that you win that way. I don't think you win that way. You have to be able to throw. But
the most important stat as a quarterback is turn the ball over. Like, Newton turns the ball over. Jimmy doesn't turn the ball over.
Well, he does some. He fumbles too much. His fumbles bother me. That's the one thing I don't like.
Fair.
He makes bad throws occasionally, but his fumbles, holding onto the football and fumbling, is what bothers me.
I guess I was talking more like decision making in terms of throws.
Yeah, I would take him. You could, like, I don't think he's elite.
I'm not saying he is either, but the fact of the matter, too, is Cam Newton has not been very good this year. He hasn't. As a passer, he has not been very good. I'm sorry. He hasn't been. You can point to the Seattle game all you want, but the last two games, and don't give me the practice excuse, he had plenty of practice before the Raiders game, and he stunk then.
And we don't have to take your opinion or your assessment.
Right. Cam's Newton, words himself.
Right. He said, I'm not very good. But it is what it is.
Yes, I know. And that's the part that's like, you have fans that don't really know what they are. Like, they're defending Cam, but then you have even the homers saying that Cam stinks, and Cam himself says he stinks. It's like, my famous phrase, what are we doing here?
Right. It is. What are we doing here? Because you're right. This week, he took heat from the Matt Chathams of the world and the Evan Lazars and like the, I don't know what Fourier calls them, the All-22 Brigade or something. And even Fourier joined it, like, to some degree. Yeah. But, you know, there were guys open. He's not seeing them. He's not making accurate throws. And we've talked all year about the accuracy. And, you know, this week it was like a James White example. He threw one behind White that could have been a better gain, and it wasn't. And I think he's done that to Edelman. I think he's gotten Edelman sort of hit at times when he maybe didn't need to. And I don't necessarily – it's weird that I don't fault Cam in some ways, because that's Cam. Like,
right. No, that's who he spent his entire career, right.
Right. A leopard doesn't change its stripes this late in the career, as they
like. Well, he even said it, too, after week two when he was getting praised for his mechanics all of a sudden. He's like, I haven't changed. I'm doing the same thing I've always done. I'm just getting noticed.
Right. Yeah, it's very weird, but he runs really well. You knew you were hoping you'd get that, making sure he was healthy, but he's proven he's healthy. He runs really well. He is who he is. Like, he's not incapable of throwing. Like, I don't know what people want or what they thought they were getting. Like, I'm a little confused. And that was sort of the point of my column today. Like, the Patriots and Cam Newton are exactly what we thought they'd be, what they probably should be based
on. Yeah, but I think you had the Patriots fans and some media and homers and all that thought, like, whoa, we're going to get the 2015 MVP Cam and we're going to be right back to where we were going to Super Bowls.
Yeah, no.
Well, and that kind of brings us into our game preview, too. Like, the defense isn't as good as it was last year, not even close to what it was last year. You're exposed in a number of areas that other teams are taking advantage of that you didn't have the last couple of years.
But we knew that was coming, too. You lost in free agency and opt-outs, and you were playing better competition.
We did, not other people. Other people were, we got the best defense in the league.
I don't know. I get so frustrated at times because some of it, I feel like it's me. Like, I'm being, I don't know, like, that they frustrate me. Like, maybe it's me. Maybe I should think more like them, or maybe, like, where I just acknowledge the facts. And it's again, it's not a shot. It's, you lost Kyle Van Noy. You lost Jamie Collins. You lost Daron Harmon. You lost Elander Jobber.
Yeah.
You lost Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower. Like, and then you're going to play better talent. It's like an equation that equals something, and yet somebody else is arguing that it, you know, 2 and 2 don't equal 4. And somebody's like, well, it's really 5 this year, I think. And no, right. It's still 4. It's right. Still 100% 4. And now, the details of it, they can still make the playoffs. You're a homer. You think they could make the playoffs, right?
Yes, absolutely. I still think they can win the division.
I still think they can make the playoffs. I don't think they will necessarily, but I think they could. And that's okay. That doesn't mean you're a contender. I had this, you know, there's playoff teams. Legit playoff teams are like the couple top 4 seeds. They have a hope to win the Super Bowl. Then there are the teams. I used the example of Jaguars Bills a couple years ago. The wild card weekend game was horrific. Neither team had a shot in Hades of winning, right?
Right.
Like, they just didn't. But they played in the playoffs. They were a playoff team. It will always say they made the playoffs. That's what the Patriots are to me. They're going to be fodder for better teams.
They're not even at the level of, like, you could talk yourself into, oh, they can get hot going into the playoffs and win a couple of games. Like, I don't think that they're not at that point right now.
I don't know
if they could be.
Let's just look at not just this year. They've played 2 good teams this year. They lost. But let's go back to the second half of last season when they played good teams. What'd they do? They lost. Like, so you can argue moral victories and whatever, but if you play the Ravens, the Titans, the Chiefs,
Steelers,
the Seahawks, you lose. The Steel, like, you lose. That, like, it is what it is. You don't measure up to those teams. You didn't late last year. You don't early this year. You won't late this year. It's okay. Like, it is okay. That's reality. It's a reality check for some people because they still think, as you said, Super Bowl contender and we'll get hot and after Thanksgiving.
Right.
It isn't that way. And that's, again, this is the world that everybody else has lived in for 20 years or forever. It's okay.
But that's what I don't know what it's going to take, but it's still going on. There's,
for example, the Pittsburgh Steelers last year were, I think they played the last game to get in the playoffs, right? Like, they were right on the cusp. They fought. They used, like, Duck Hodges, and they were using they were competitive. They could have been a playoff team. They had no shot in Hades of going to the Super Bowl or competing for a Super Bowl. And that's a franchise that, more often than not, does compete for legitimate playoffs.
It does, yeah.
They're back this year. They are now a Super Bowl contender, in my opinion.
Right.
Now, part of that is they got their quarterback back.
They're more healthy. But.
Right. But it's okay. A team like the Steelers can be competitive for a playoff spot and not be good. Like, they weren't good a year ago, but they were still competing for a playoff spot down to the wire. That's what you are. As Teddy Bruschi said, you're not a very good football team, but you will still be competitive probably in a lot of games the rest of the year. You may compete for the division, as you said, or the playoff spot. So it is what it is.
All right, let's get into this matchup this week, which I think is a big game as we're sort of talking about, because you're at 2-3, you know, the numbers play out. If you're 2-4, you have, I think, a less than 10% chance of making the playoffs, and I know it's a little different this year with an extra playoff team, so maybe it's not as tough of a hill to climb, but still, this is a very big game. Then you got the division game coming up with the Bills after it, so just from a momentum standpoint, you kind of need this game. You're playing at home. You can't afford to lose three in a row. Like this is a, like you said earlier, it's not a must win game, but it's pretty damn close.
Yes. And it's in that pack of games that's going to decide your season. And it's against a team that I don't know what people think of the Niners. I feel like some people think they're a Super Bowl team because they were in the Super Bowl.
But then others look at their injuries and how they play and how they're built that say maybe they're not.
They stink. And they don't. They're like the Patriots. They're not. I don't really think the 49ers are a Super Bowl contender. I don't really think they stink. I think they are you. That's what I think they are.
I would say they're a little better than the Patriots. Like, I think they're a team that I could see getting into the playoffs and then getting hot and making a Super Bowl run.
Maybe. I don't
know. Like, if they got all their pieces back on defense, because they have the talent to be an elite defense, and what if their defense plays unreal for three games?
You can't
say that about the Patriots.
If they get fully healthy, like, you're not getting fully healthy defense, you're not getting fully healthy offense because they don't have Mostert this week. Maybe if they're at full health, but I still don't love their chances. I think they're kind of that notch below. Like, they're like the Bills. I think they're kind of the Bills of the NFC in a different way. Like, I don't think the Bills are a Super Bowl contender, but a couple weeks ago, people were like, oh, the Bills are undefeated. Oh, he's hot. He's great. Yeah. I just wouldn't feel comfortable picking them. But, in the matchup, I actually kind of like the Patriots in the matchup for a couple reasons. Home field is always good with a team coming across the country. I do think they're frothing at the mouth as much as they can froth at the mouth to come off of an embarrassment, come off of whatever that was, the no practice. And that's also the problem with Bill's thing. If you emphasize practice and then you get a normal week and still suck, well, now what's the excuse? Or do we just suck?
That was sort of my point this earlier. Like, you're setting yourself up in a way to look bad.
Right. Or take a victory lap and say, see, if we practice, we can beat a pretty good football team at home.
Right.
Because I think the 49ers are better than the Broncos. So
there's no question.
On paper, it's a tougher matchup, but I think you're better suited. I also – the Kittle is the centerpiece of their offense, their passing game. So it's the age-old Belichick's going to take away. Now, I don't know if take away is strong, but I think you're going to throw a lot at George Kittle. And you have some athletes. Like, I'll be interested to see how Duggar and Jawan Williams and Phillips and McCourty and
– they did a good job against Kelsey, so who's to say they can't do it again against Kittle?
Right. And then if you do that, that diminishes what – now, I still – you know, Debo is still a talented kid. The Arizona State receiver took, Ayuk, the former backup of Harry, might be better than Harry. Maybe you're getting the better version. So they still have the running game. I'll be interested to see how they run the football because they want to run the football, but they're
but
not.
They can also do it different ways. They call jet sweeps to Samuel, Ayuk. Like, they get the ball in their playmaker's hand. So it's not just the running game that you have to worry about.
And I also would say, yes, Bill Belichick had a week to coach, but I think people have now generally accepted, at least offensively, Kyle Shanahan's one of the best coaches in the game, one of the top handful of offensive coaches overall in the game. His history against Belichick has been score points. Like, it's going to be a competitive game. He's proven he can do that. So I think it'll be a dogfight. I think it'll be a competitive game. I do think Cam is a wild card in this emotionally. Like, I like what he has said. But what if it's frustrating early?
I was just going to say, what if the first two drives are 2-3 and outs? What if there's an early pick? Like,
yeah. Like, that could go one of two ways because we know he can get down. We know he can get a little on the bench, the towel over the head. So I love his emotion right now. I love where his head's at, his motivation's at. I don't know what that'll look like in the first quarter. Flip side is true, too. Did you listen to Jimmy talking about how he's had this game circled on his calendar for a long time and all that?
Of course. Like,
if he throws a pick six or he throws a couple early picks or it's ugly, you know, that's going to change the dynamic.
I like his momentum, though, more than – I mean, his attitude than Cam. Like, I think he could mentally handle a pick more than Newton could.
He probably can, but I also think it'll ignite the Patriots.
Oh, yeah. Get that pick. Yes.
So – The early part of this game is going to be interesting. My guess is both teams, I don't know that either team's good enough to run away with it. So you're probably going to have a game that's in question. I mean, first of all, the Patriots need to score some touchdowns, but their opponent needs to too, because the last two first halves have been just field goals, Kansas City and
this
last week.
We haven't talked about it. I know we haven't, but I picked up on it the last game. You know, they don't have an offensive touchdown in the first quarter this year.
I didn't notice that.
You know, they have 7 points in the first quarter this year. The Devin McCourty pick six in Seattle.
Yep. Yeah. So the start of this game could be very interesting if they get off to a.
They have points. I'm touchdowns. They have no.
Yeah. No. 7 points. Yeah. Well, their games don't include touchdowns anymore, so it's all field goals. But I'm just going to be interested to see how these. I mean, this is probably overly basic analysis, but how they start and how they finish. The middle is almost kind of irrelevant. I feel like
as long as you don't turn the ball over three times.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't get silly, like Garoppolo against the Dolphins. It doesn't get out of control. Like, who starts well, but who finishes? And they haven't been able to finish. They could have finished last week, didn't. Could have finished Kansas City, didn't. Could have finished Seattle, didn't. So can they finish a game? It's an interesting matchup, but I am picking the Patriots to win. I am picking the Patriots to bounce back.
I am not.
Oh. Well, I got 27-23 Patriots.
27-23. I like San Fran 24-20.
Okay. So the homer who still thinks they can win the division and go to the AFC title game has
– I never said that they could. That was my prediction earlier in the year.
What?
I don't have them in the AFC title game right now.
Oh, okay.
I have them in the playoffs.
You've removed them from the AFC title game, but they're still in the playoffs.
Yes.
At 2-4.
Yes. Because you have an extra team. Like, there's going to be an 8-8 team that makes the playoffs. That's just how it is.
Yeah, but three teams in the North could make the playoffs. The Ravens and Steelers are locks, and the Browns are better than you.
If the Patriots finish 8-8, I think they probably get in.
Okay. I mean, we'll see.
And you have two games against the Jets coming up. That's two wins right there. So you're automatically up 4.
Yeah, but you also have a game against the Ravens. You automatically have another loss.
Sure, but sorry, my dog's interrupting the podcast. Guess she didn't like my Patriots take.
Well, even she thinks you're a homer.
She what?
Even she thinks you're a homer.
Yeah, I guess.
They stink. They're going to lose at home 2 weeks in a row, and yet you got to make the playoffs. Let's go. That's a crappy take. Bark, bark.
So, because you can see them losing this game.
Oh. I will not be surprised that I won't be surprised if they are down early in this game, like 17-0 or something. That would not stun me. Now, it would stun me if they don't show some fight from there and come back a little bit. But nothing would surprise me. Right? Like, I keep saying, like, what do they do well other than Cam run? What do they do really, really well?
I guess they defended passes in the red zone well last week.
That's fair. But they marched up and down the field.
I know. That's the knock. Like, everybody was saying, like, how great the defense was in the secondary was. Well, they allowed Denver to get down the field, and then they just decided to play, you know, inside the 30.
And part of that is so many years of classic Patriots success included bend but don't break. So now everybody's like, oh, bend but don't break. They can ride that to success. We'll see. I don't think all that many teams – like, Drew Lock is not all that great. Their weapons are injured. So they didn't score. Okay.
They threw to a guy named Tim Patrick.
Yes. He had 100 yards, right?
I know.
Yeah, I wasn't overly familiar with him. I'm not going to lie. So I say too much, huh?
I do too.
I got to cut. I feel like it's only on here. I don't feel like I say as much on the radio.
What does it say about me?
Yeah, you bring out the in me. Yeah. Nice job, Hannibal. Way to botch that like they botched the Jimmy Garoppolo situation.
Yeah.
So I do think this is a really interesting game because we heard the stat this week. Oh, they're under 500 for this late in the year for the first time in 20 years since 2002, whatever. If they're – and Cam even acknowledged, well, I know the sky's falling this week, but I'll have my umbrella out. He said that on our station.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? If the sky fell this week, what comes after the sky falling?
That's – I keep coming back to it. Like, they're setting themselves up for, like, where do you go from here? Like, the team and how they're talking, Cam especially, is setting themselves up that they need to win this game.
Yeah. And when they do, they'll be victorious. victory laps. Oh, they beat a Super Bowl team. Oh, they're back in.
All they needed was practice. Like, they got their injured guys back, the COVID guys right. back. Like, they're ready to go.
That's a good team they beat over there. Jimmy's a good quarterback. Wait, you just told me last week Jimmy sucks.
Well, I'm waiting for that, too. Right, right.
But, again, I will get back to the 49ers have three wins. Two came against the Broncos and the Giants.
That's fair.
Patriots don't have necessarily great wins.
Well, I was just going to say, your wins are against the Dolphins in week one. They're a different team then than they are now, and the Raiders.
Yeah.
So, you can the Patriots' wins are better, but not by much.
Yeah, neither team – I mean, even the good win for the 49ers, it's a division team, so that kind of always mucks right. it up a little bit.
Right.
So – yeah, neither team has a great signature win by any means. They both dealt with injuries and adversity. That's why I think this is a really interesting game. I don't know if it's an interesting game for the country. I don't know if it's a big picture NFL interesting game, but
I think it, isn't game. It? I don't know. Is it the Fox game of the week?
4:25. Yeah, probably.
I mean, I know Joe Buck's off because he's been working 8 straight days with the World Series and football.
Because he's bitching about flyovers.
So I know those two don't have a game this weekend, but I don't know if it's the national game. I would assume it is.
Yeah, if it's up, I mean, isn't that how the 4:25 is?
Yeah, I can actually look this up. I mean, I don't know. I should have done this earlier, but.
Prior planning, friends. Piss poor performance.
Well, I didn't know we were getting into the media stuff.
You never know where games.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay.
I guess – no, this is – sorry, it is. This is a CBS game. I thought it was Fox. So this is a CBS game that they got, you know, ahead of time because this should be a Fox game in the NFC.
Well, yeah, but the NFC schedule also got changed because of
– oh, that's the
Bucks and the Raiders and
– yes. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo have this game.
Oh, great. Tony freaking Romo.
Yes.
Got to listen to him again.
The genius. Oh, you could come to the stadium and watch.
Oh, thank you. Don't want to do that either. Don't want to, you know, have the fun. When I'm at home, it actually feels like a real game. When you go to the stadium, it doesn't.
I keep telling this to people that ask, like, watching the game there, it's tough. It's right. In the press box, it's dead silent. There's no crowd noise. There's no the CBS pumping the noise. Like, it's just the PA guy saying, Damian Harris, 2 yards, 2nd and 8.
Damian Harris can have more yards this week. Damian Harris can have a good week.
He needs to have a good week. I think they went away from him last week.
Yes. Yeah, he ran the ball like 5 out of 12 snaps and then basically didn't play. I'm going to say he has not 100 yards. I'm going to say he gets like 75, 85 yards and scores a touchdown. That's my prediction for Damian Harris.
Okay. He's
part of the victory, part of the sneaky guy that I didn't know much about. Their linebacker when I watched him last week, Fred Warner.
Yep.
Kid out of BYU. Yep. He's really good.
Yep.
Patriots could use a guy like him.
And I think this is we talked about earlier. This is a game where your front seven needs to play big. Needs like you get some guys back. I don't know how much Bo Allen's going to play. Probably not much because he just came back. But you got Byron Coward back, so you have your normal depth up front. They need to play well. Your linebackers need to play well. Bentley, I think, had probably his best game of the year against the Broncos. He needs to play like he did last week.
Good though.
Huh?
Still wasn't good though.
For him.
I mean, he had a lot of tackles. I just think a lot of them were like Philip Lindsay, 7 yards, Bentley with the tackle. Like, okay, great. 7 yards downfield, we're making tackles. Middle linebacker.
All right. I'm excited for this game though. Probably just because I, you know, could get killed on Twitter if Newton lights up and Garoppolo sucks.
I'm kind of rooting for that.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, if Cam Newton throws for about 370 and Jimmy throws for 120 with 3 picks, it could be entertaining on your Twitter feed. Very entertaining.
Okay.
I kind of look forward to that. Can we get real quick before we wrap this up into the Patriots announcing their
all-dynasty? Oh, yes. I knew we were missing something.
Yeah, the all-dynasty team was announced this week, meaning the dynasty's over because that's when you announce these teams. When, you know, the all-decade team is when the decade ends, you announce it. Damn, I said again. So – there was a number of issues. Number of issues.
Yeah.
There were big picture issues. The dynasty's over. Big picture issue. It had like 42
players.
That's not legal. You get too many men on the field. You got 3 guards, 3 tackles, 2 fullbacks.
Two long snappers, one center.
So some of that was weird. I did talk to somebody who was heavily involved in putting the team together. Actually, a couple different people with different tones to their responses. But a lot of this was fan voting all last year on Patriots.com. Fans voted for this all dynasty team. And I do want to emphasize, first of all, it is the all dynasty team. So it's the last 20 years. It's not, I saw somebody, oh, Ben Coach didn't make the team. Nope, wasn't part of the dynasty. Now, if you want to say all-time Patriots tight ends, he's right in the conversation with Gronk, right, but not part of the dynasty. But there were also I think, you know, Keith and I talked about this. There were two options here, and you split the difference, didn't do either one, so you came away looking weird. Do a real team where a guard, a tackle, a guard, like starting lineup, do that. And I know there's, oh, they are 3-4 or 4-3. Figure it out. If you want one extra defensive player, I'll give you one extra defensive
right
player. Or what would I think would have been fun, do a 53-man roster where then you open it up for the Patrick Passes and Matt Chathams of the yes world to make the team and really fill it out in a fun way. Super Bowl rings might – oh, Matt Chatham has three. He's better than, you know, Nate Ebner or whatever, and you put them
right
all on.
Right.
I think that'd be fun. So they didn't do that. Then what really got them in hot water, including with some of the players, was they had not only a team, but then an honorable mention group where you had Steven Gostkowski, Danny Amendola, Gerard Mayo.
So it was like, if you didn't make this list at all, like, that kind of says a lot about you.
And a guy who didn't make the list was a Super Bowl MVP by the name of Deion Branch,
who took to Twitter on Friday morning and
did the old
screenshot of the list and said, wow.
Palm slap or whatever, like, what's going on? Yeah. And he had not only a Super Bowl MVP, he was good for them for a number of years. They traded him away because he wanted to be a number one receiver money. They traded him to Seattle. He probably wasn't worth number one money. He had back-to-back Super Bowls where he totaled 21 catches and like 270 yards receiving when they won back-to-back titles. How can that guy not be on the – he was a reason they became a dynasty. That's when they became a dynasty, when they won the 2004 Super Bowl back-to-back. Yes, remember Gil Santos? Yes, New England, it's a dynasty or whatever. Like the PFW dynasty cover. He is the reason that all existed in some degree, and he didn't get any recognition. I hope they rectify that. I think they will rectify that, either add him, because we should mention, not only did they announce this team, it's an exhibit that's open at the hall.
They announced this team to go to sort of coincide with an exhibit at the hall.
I think he will get his name and picture and story told in that exhibit. I think this was
an
unfortunate oversight that will be rectified. I think this will be fixed because Deion Branch is a key figure in the dynasty. I even argued that David Givens of that era should have gotten honorable mention.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, if you're not part of like that list of 42 guys, like something is like, right, anybody that had anything to do with any of those wins should be on it.
Right. Antoine Smith is another name that I think could have gotten consideration that didn't for his contributions. It was an interesting list. I wish they had done it differently, as I said, either done a true team or – well, first of all, they had a long snapper. Who has a long snapper? Other than a Pro Bowl roster, like, who does a long snapper?
Right.
The All-Pro team doesn't have a long snapper. Like,
they had two long snappers, didn't they?
Yes, they did. It should have been Lonnie Paxton. I'm sorry, Joe Cardona. Lonnie Paxton made long snapping cool. Like, he made it cool. The snow angels and the hitting the goalpost on the intentional safety. Lonnie Paxton made long snapping cool. He should be the dynasty long snapper if you're going to have one.
Okay.
But I would tell fans, head out to Patriot Place. Go to the hall at Patriot Place. Check out the exhibit.
We'll have some cool memorabilia, some cool, you know, pictures and, you know, memorabilia, all that stuff. Like, I'm sure it's a cool exhibit, especially because you can go and actually relive your Super Bowl years when the team now is trending towards not making the playoffs.
And the next exhibit I'm looking forward to is now that the dynasty is over because Tom Brady left, which I don't know if they use that as the impetus for this. I can't wait for the Tom Brady exhibit. I mean, that's going to be – you might have to build a new floor.
Or you might have to, like, open up tear down some walls at Gillette Stadium and have it the Tom Brady Hall.
And, yes, and I'll be interested to see, because it's sort of an interactive modern museum. You know, they had the thing – it was a total screwed the pooch because it didn't work properly. But, like, they have the snow kick where you go in the globe and kick. It's not cold. I told the guys they had to make it cold. They were never able to make it cold. But, anyway, they try these things. I wonder what they'll do with Brady. Like, can you catch passes from Brady? Or
right,
will there be a live action robot of Brady, or to me, there has to be something. It can't just be a picture of Tom Brady or even a statue
something
of Tom
interactive
Brady.
With Tom Brady.
Got to be, or you know, multiple wax figures of how he changed over the years, like Madame Tussauds. Like, it's when that opens, that has to be wow factor. Hologram. Remember when they had like Michael Jackson perform?
Oh yeah,
or something like at an award show. Or,
yeah,
maybe that. Maybe a hologram of. It's got to be Tom Brady. Has to be like, it has to punch you in the face with how cool it is. He's Tom Brady. It was 20 years, but maybe Deion Branch will be behind him.
Maybe. When are we doing our post-game podcast? Probably Monday morning?
It's up to you. Whatever. Monday morning, Sunday night. I'm always available.
Probably Sunday morning. Could be a later night at the stadium.
Monday morning.
Monday morning.
Not Sunday morning. We can't do our post-game.
No. Monday morning, and there should be plenty of talk about. I could be, you know, pouting about getting crushed on Twitter again, or I could be saying I told you so.
We might have to read some mean tweets if that happens.
That could be a good exercise.
Because not only do they hate you, they think you're a racist because of some of the comments you made.
There was one particular thread or tweet that a lot of people liked that said I was racist.
How can you be racist? I know how you could be racist, but just because there's a black quarterback and a white quarterback and you have an opinion on them, that means you're racist? That's stupid.
It's the world we're living in right now.
It is, sadly. The cesspool of Twitter and the terrible world we live in.
All right. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
Peace out.